Shabbat Shalom, Chag Sameach. I don't have to tell anyone we're in the midst of election season, and it's an exciting time. Whatever side of the political aisle you're on, it's an exciting time. Elections often are, because it gives us a chance to dream about the future of this great country in which we live. But for the past few campaigns have been bogged down with negativity, mudslinging, character assaults, and I, for one, like many of you, am tired of it. It doesn't have to be this way. Once in a while, we're reminded that it can be different. In 1996, Bob Dole was the Republican nominee for president, many of you remember. And Dole poured his heart and soul into the campaign. And of course, he was overwhelmed with disappointment when he lost the election to Bill Clinton. A few years later, Dole had a joint appearance with Clinton. And then after the appearance, Dole was asked how he could bear to be on stage with Clinton, of all people. Dole responded, "He was my opponent, never my enemy. There is an enormous difference." In today's political environment, that line between opponent and enemy is increasingly blurred. Dedicated supporters, and often the candidates themselves, allow our elections to disintegrate into nasty free-for-alls. As he watched the last presidential election in 2004, James Traub, the columnist, remarked that as a society, we have become drunk on the heady wine of total denunciation. Traub observed what we all know to be true. It's gone too far. So let's imagine for a moment. Imagine a political discourse in which the atmosphere was not to judge or attack, but rather to hear, to enrich our own outlook by gaining a different perspective. And sadly, this attack and judge inclination that we experience in politics, it's not just limited to elections. It finds its way in all areas of our life. When we look at our lives, disagreement is a part of it, and that's good. That's how we deal with things. That's how we express ourselves as individuals. We are individuals, and we will have different opinions. But it's how we deal with disagreement that has become so troubling. We do whatever it takes to prove that we are right when we're in a disagreement. Come on, we've all been there. Instead of listening to one another, you pounce. The first opportunity that you have, you want to prove you're right, and the other side, they don't know what they're talking about. They are wrong. And what we've lost in all of this, what we've lost is the value of listening. A few years ago, the Harvard Negotiation Project, which is a group that's dedicated to studying communication, recognized this alarming trend in our discussions. They couldn't understand why so many conversations spiral out of control. So, with the hopes of changing the way we confront one another in our disagreements, they wrote a book called Difficult Conversations. And in this book, the authors claim that when a conversation begins with contempt, anger, judgment, that's when a conversation is headed for disaster. They suggest two ways to improve our conversations. The first of which is they suggest that we substitute curiosity for judgment. And second, we replace the need to be heard with a desire to listen. So This book from Harvard, Difficult Conversations, it alone proves the point. But Judaism also encourages this approach. Remember, it's the very first confrontation in the Bible. Adam is told not to eat from the tree of good, of knowledge of good and evil. And of course, what do Adam and Eve do? They eat from it anyway. So the reader might expect that God is going to react with anger, thunderbolts, lightning. But instead, God approaches Adam and Eve with a simple question. Where are you? Ayeka, where are you? Where is the innocent man I created? How did you lose yourself in all of this? Without rushing to judgment, after Adam and Eve eat from the tree, God pauses and gently asks, Ayeka, where are you? And then God listens. Adam and Eve, then they tell their side of the story. There was the snake and they were deceived. After listening, God is still not pleased, and Adam and Eve are banished from the Garden of Eden. But with a new understanding of what happened, God knows the blame isn't solely theirs. And because of this, because God listened, humanity gets a second chance at life. Like God with Adam and Eve, we can have difficult conversations, but disagreement doesn't need to end in disaster. When all we care about is being right, we assume our perspective is the only perspective. We blind ourselves to the shades of gray that color our lives. And at that point, when we become so convinced that we are correct and we can't hear anybody else, that's a real dangerous place. On the other hand, when we listen, when we make room for a perspective other than our own, our tradition teaches that we can bring redemption to the world. The Talmud asks, when is the Messiah coming? The answer, today, if we listen to him. The Talmud teaches what we all know. In order for the world to be redeemed, first we need to learn how to listen. Conversations, they quickly disintegrate into conflict when nobody's listening. And also, when the real questions are left unsaid, when there is no conversation, that's also bad. Look at the Rosh Hashanah reading. We read about the sacrifice of Isaac, Akidat Yitzchak. It's perhaps the most challenging text in our entire Bible. If you break it down, at every level, there are difficult conversations that need to happen, but instead of discourse, instead of talking, there's just silence. Remember the story. As a test of faith from God, Abraham prepares to sacrifice his son Isaac. As the event unfolds, the dialogue is minimal, leaving everyone's intentions and their motivations unclear. At the last minute, with his son bound to the altar, with a knife over his head, ready to slaughter his own son, an angel stops Abraham, and Abraham puts down the knife. And while Isaac lives, Abraham's family is destroyed. Sarah dies, and Abraham and Isaac, they never speak again. Those are the fruits of a difficult conversation left unspoken. What if it had been different? If Sarah asked, Ayeka, where are you, Abraham? Where are you taking our son? And that look in your eyes, where's the gentle man that I married? What if Isaac asked, Ayeka, where are you, Dad? what are you doing to me? Or what if in the very beginning, Abraham asked God, Ayeka, where are you, God? How can you make me do something like this? But in our Torah, instead of these conversations, there's silence. And as a result, while Sarah and Abraham, they birth a thriving nation, just look at the room around us, but their own home, their own family, it crumbles. Abraham is the father of our people, but he has a difficult time being a father to his own son. And thousands of years later, Abraham's words continue to inspire the world in which we live, but words failed him with his own family. Too often, we are like Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, failing to talk with each other. And those are the difficult conversations that never were. And other times, we address the issue, but it's not much of a conversation. Because we approach it with, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to prove my point. I'm going to make sure that I'm right. Either way, in either of these situations, asking and listening can change everything. Asking, where are you? Ayeka, transforms a difficult conversation into a holy exchange. Let's be clear. Hearing another perspective does not mean conceding the point, denying your right to an opinion. It doesn't mean that every opinion is correct or that everyone needs to agree on everything. Remember, disagreement is a foundation of our Jewish tradition. Just look at the Talmud. The Talmud is a collection of discussions and disagreements. That's why it's so big. But the fact that these opinions are preserved on the same pages and given voice in the same conversations proves that different opinions and perspectives is a Jewish value. Yet the real beauty is not in the disagreement, but in the atmosphere that allows for a disagreement without demonization. And the first step in actualizing such a setting is the ability to pause and listen. Imagine an atmosphere of Ayeka, asking others where they're at, a culture that values questioning and full understanding. Think of a political campaign without the acrimonious assaults and mudslinging. Picture a campaign of Ayeka. The candidates ask, where are you on the issues? Where did you come from, we ask as voters. And we ask the candidates, where would you like to take us if you're elected to this office? Envision a campaign of Ayeka where the questions are posed and then where we listen for the answers. And especially now in the digital age, where our conversations take place in shorthand on the screens of our computers and on our telephones. Imagine an Ayeka email. What happens if instead of getting an email and that makes us upset, instead of angrily hitting reply, we thoughtfully reply, Ayeka, where are you? I read your email and I want to understand your perspective. Can we talk about it? At work, what would it look like if we didn't rush into judgment when there's miscommunication, and miscommunication happens in every office across the country? When there's miscommunication and deals fall apart and money is lost, instead of accusing one another, how could you let this happen? Why did you do that? What happens if we stopped and we asked, Ayeka, where are you? Help me understand this from your perspective. Think how much more productive we could be, and think how much nicer it would be to go to work. And in our homes, our most sacred place, consider the transformative power of Ayeka, of approaching conflict with the hope of gaining understanding before rushing to react. Picture all those seemingly little things that get blown out of proportion. Who's supposed to take out the trash? Who's supposed to walk the dog, pick up the kids from soccer practice? And then think of all the important issues, the values with which to raise the children, how to budget our money, how to manage our time. What would it be like if during all these conversations, we stopped? We stopped accusing each other and we asked Ayeka, where are you? I love you and I want to understand your perspective on this, so let's figure it out together. On Jewish holidays, we're hopeful that God will hear our prayers and consider our cause. And we recite, Adonai, Adonai is compassionate and gracious. Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum V'chanun, slow to anger and filled with loving kindness and truth. Erech Apayim V'rav Chesed V'emet. We say this prayer optimistic that God will consider what we have to say. We trust that God will respond to our prayers like God responded to Adam and Eve, by listening. As we ask God to listen to us, we can follow God's holy example. When facing a difficult conversation, we too can be slow to anger and judgment. Erech Apayim. We too can be full of mercy, Rav Chesed Ve'emet. We too can ask, Ayeka, where are you? And allow curiosity and the desire to listen overcome rash judgment and the impulse to be heard. This year, as we hope to see God in the blessings of our life, let's look into the souls of each other. As we pray for God to hear us, let's remember to listen. May this year be a year of Ayeka, a year of gaining perspective and understanding. In this new year, let's see difficult conversations as opportunities for holy exchanges. Let's resolve to live a life of Ayeka, to bring us closer together and ultimately to draw us nearer to God. Shabbat Shalom.